Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He is Andy Shea. Andy, how are we doing this week? Did you survive all the storms for this week?
Barely, Jim, but yeah, finally, right? Like, it just wasn't hot. It's been like 10, 12 days of hot here in the Northeast. It's still hot, but we finally had some storms roll through, and they were pretty wicked. I have to say, it built, and they were nasty, but I survived. Ready to talk some Penn State and college football.
What's funny, Andy, as you mentioned to me, your power went out for a little bit the other night. I had my power go out early in the week without any storms going on. So I don't know what's going on with that. But the most recent storm from the other night, I survived pretty well, although areas right around me got hit pretty hard. Let's get into our Penn State football talk. Andy, I want to start with this. Penn State got their 2026 quarterback. A player by the name of Troy Huan from California, highly ranked. He's a top 200 player, listed as 12th best quarterback in the one rating that I saw. Very highly regarded. If you base it on the teams that were after him, he had an interesting path to get to Penn State, but fascinating to me how the quarterback recruiting seems to be evolving over the years.
Yeah, he's it seems Penn State was his third first choice, per se, if you kind of want to break it down that way. And that's more common today, right? Like, that's kind of what you should – that's the way you kind of have to think about the quarterback position, because of the sort of – lack of what I would say 5 years ago stability, that it's just going to look like that. The transfer portal, recruits, it's such a moving target. So it's no big deal. They've locked one down. 2026, a little bit of a ways off, Jimmy, but that shows you a little bit about recruiting today and, you know, in the very near future, that you have to plan well in advance of what you think you have to plan for. But it's the position of quarterback. This brings up the conversation. I wanted to bring this point up. Even 5 years ago, pre-COVID, Jimmy, right? Like pre-COVID, you would talk about the quarterback position, and at Penn State, for example, James was kind of wanting to recruit, and he was openly said, I want, you know, to recruit two quarterbacks. Ideally, I want to recruit two quarterbacks. I don't think you need to do that anymore. I think you recruit your guy, whether you're the third choice or not, you recruit one of your guys, get one of your guys, and then see where it falls from there, because you have so many options in terms of, you know, transfer portal, not working out, secondary guys who want to, you know, come to your school. So I think the quarterback position, excuse me, more than any other position, and a lot has changed in college football, but for me, the landscape of quarterbacks has changed so much in so many ways. And one of the big ways for me has been the way you sort of can recruit, need to recruit, have options to recruit the quarterback position. And I always think James has been pretty cagey as a head football coach and how he recruits the quarterback position.
Well, Andy, you know, you're talking about it from the team's perspective, which obviously important, but you also have the player perspective. In this situation for Penn State, this player, he was a couple of his options were Texas,
yep,
Michigan. Texas ended up, they brought in a quarterback that Penn State was after also. And as soon as that happened, he eliminates Texas from contention. It's not going to be two good quarterbacks going there. He was actually visiting Michigan when another player announced another player, another top quarterback committed there. So scratch Michigan off the list, which is why you called Penn State his third first pick. So it's a bit of musical chairs among the top quarterbacks. You're not going to see, with very often anymore, that two quarterbacks coming in, right, at least not to two top quarterbacks. Right. And it's not just a question of whether James Franklin wants it or not. It's the quarterbacks themselves. They are not going to come in if there's other top quarterbacks at that school already.
Yeah, his story is going to be more common. You're going to hear more about it. You're going to hear more about it going forward from guys that are top 15, particularly quarterbacks are top 15, top 20 in the country, right? They're rated that highly. They have a little bit more of leverage and a pick of the litter at the quarterback position. They want to be the first quarterback and the only quarterback pretty much in that class. They want to be able to see a path to playing sooner than later, right? And that's one thing I think that, Penn State can create is a path to a clear path.
And you know what's also fascinating to me from the Penn State perspective, Andy, and this is something I remember reading about decades ago in recruiting quarterbacks. It was a whole different world, but the thought of this year you recruit a top guy, next year you probably recruit a guy who's more loyal than he is the elite quarterback. He's a guy you could almost train him to be. Because if you only have 1 year separation between elite quarterbacks, you may not get the patience. And I bring that up because it's fascinating to me, Andy. Over the last 5 years, here's been the Penn State recruiting. Drew Aller, Jackson Smolik, Ethan Grunkmeyer, Becken Kritza, and Troy Hunt. And it's like they've gone every other year. Drew Aller was the number one quarterback in the country. Jackson Smolik, the 36th best.
Right.
Then Ethan Grunkmeyer, a top 10 quarterback. Kritza, the following year, ranked 45th at the position. Now you have another top quarterback. It seems like every other year. However, I think the difference is, I'm not sure this is Penn State saying we don't want an elite quarterback every year. I think it's quarterbacks, to your point, looking for a path,
yep,
to starting. And if Drew Aller, who some places had him as the number one quarterback in the country, if you're a top quarterback, do you want to come in the following year knowing you're probably going to sit behind Drew Aller for the next few years?
Yeah, you don't. It's like I said, it's all about the path. And I think, don't forget, when you talk about Drew Aller in the 2022 class, they also got their plan B and their number two quarterback for behind Drew Aller in Bo Prabula, right? So, for Jackson Smolik and Ethan Grunkmeyer, there's a little bit of a problem for them because in that recruiting class, guess what? They got the guy who's the number two quarterback right now. And he came to Penn State knowing that Drew Aller was the number one quarterback in the country, and he didn't care.
Well, but that's a little bit of making the point, Andy, that Bo Prabula, I don't think Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State were knocking down his door to get to him. Nothing against Bo Prabula, who I think could be a pretty good quarterback. But now you mentioned Smolik and Grunkmeyer. Smolik, we know, was not their top choice. Going in that year, they were looking at other options first. Grunkmeyer, though, with 2 years of separation from Aller and even Prabula, again, the way you put it, can he see a path? Yes, he can. Where it's Drew Aller probably will move on after this season. Ethan Grunkmeyer will be there. He'll redshirt. Then the position is open the following year, Andy.
Yeah, next year, everything's on a three-year plan at the quarterback position, right? Because you have to create the path. And it's a three-year plan, and it's a three-year path. And the quarterbacks all, especially the top 15, think they're going to play all 3 years. They just sometimes think that way. They should be thinking that way. But generally speaking, you're looking to play 2 out of 3 years. And I think it is what is your, you know, the as you've shown at Penn State, the 1 year, a highly recruited 1 year off. What can you build behind that? In other words, I think you're looking for horses for courses that fill in the room underneath the clear path to the starter role. And I like watching quarterback recruiting more than anything, because I think even a guy like Bro Prabula, right? He's like, no, I can play there. I can start there. I can be successful there. And I'm just as good as the guy they recruited who's the number one quarterback in the country. They all think like that, Jimmy. They all do, even though they don't look like that. I like that. That's what makes the quarterback position the most fun to watch. Because even what you think is a secondary choice or a plan B quarterback, they believe, and most times, sometimes they show that they can be better than the guy who was recruited higher from them. I love watching the quarterback position for that reason. And I think James embraces that. He really does.
Well, I think any coach, Andy, would embrace if you bring in a second quarterback who's willing to work hard to get onto the field and stay loyal. Bo Prabula, by the way, this is his, just like Drew Aller, will be his third year on campus. Do you know how rare it is for a quarterback to spend 3 years as the backup?
Right.
That doesn't happen anymore, because typically, as you pointed out, they off the field, they belong on the field, and most quarterbacks, and yes, I said most, and I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I know I'd look this up, Andy, more often than not, if they've gone 2 years without getting on the field as a starter, they move on.
Yeah, Penn State's had two number two guys move on, right? They had two even before the transfer portal area with McSorley and Clifford as the entrenched starters. Their backups left. So it is unusual that Bo Prabula stays. And the other part of Penn State that I just wanted to say in the last second, they stick with their guys. Basically three starters in James' tenure. Three of his guys have been starting quarterbacks. That's it.
All right, Andy, that is it for quarter number one and our quarterbacks conversation. Stick with us. We've got lots more to go.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter two. He's Andy. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. Quarter number one, we were talking about Penn State recruiting of quarterbacks over the last couple of years. A couple quick things I just want to finish up with, wrap that quarterback conversation up, Andy, is I gave the names the last 5 years, 22 through 26, believe it or not, of Penn State's recruiting of quarterbacks. Three of them were considered top 200 players.
Right.
What I think is also interesting from the Penn State perspective, for James Franklin, until Drew Aller, he had never had a quarterback recruit who was ranked within the top 200. Sean Clifford was his highest ranked quarterback. So at the very least, in the last 5 years, or upcoming years too, he's had three guys ranked within the top 200. So I'm not sure what it tells us, but it does appear that they are getting better quarterbacks. You mentioned a couple guys that transferred out. The fact is, Penn State has not had a lot of quarterbacks transfer if you look at some of the other schools.
Right.
But Will Levis obviously lost out to competition. And Christian Vaiu, he didn't lose the competition for the number one job. He lost the competition for the number two job.
Right.
Which meant Drew Aller bypassed him for number two behind Sean Clifford. That was enough, and I think a wise decision on Vaiu's part to move on. He was not going to beat out Drew Aller, who was the younger player, so you can't knock a guy for doing that. All right, Andy, let's move on to our next topic, and it's interesting to me, perhaps the most useless piece of information is when these organizations come out. Not even their All-American team, their preseason All-American, their preseason All-Conference team. And they even have four levels, first, second, third, and fourth team. Probably the most useless information, and it's preseason before they even step on the field for the season. However, as useless as it is, we're going to talk about it, which is why they put this stuff out, because we consume it, we read it, we comment on it. And the two ones that I saw this past week, and I sent you the information, one was Phil Steele, and I think the other one was Athlon. I'm not sure, but fascinating to me. I'm just going to give you the Penn State players that were on the first team. And you can start from there with your reaction, and then we could go bigger picture. But Phil Steele, interestingly enough, had Sal Warmly on his first team offense and Abdul Carter on defense. The other outlet also had Abdul Carter on the first team and Nick Singleton. The interesting thing about Nick Singleton, though, is he was the third running back that they put in there. And in fact, I think they qualified it. Like, they had the other two as running back. And then Nick Singleton was like a running back slash something specialist or something to that effect. So I'm not sure, you know, that meant they even thought he was one of the best two running backs in the conference. However, he was officially first team on that one. Your reaction to these players on the first team?
So they generally do – the preseasons will do 12, right? There's 11. They'll do 12 to give them the wiggle room. That's your Nick Singleton pick, right? You'll do 12 on offense, 12 on defense. You'll put 24 on each of your teams, first, second, third, and fourth. I looked at the Penn State players, and so what I did – and I ranked them in order. I have six players that I believe deserve consideration for being preseason all Big Ten, right? You just mentioned the ones that make it. I'm glad for Phil Steele because Phil and I think alike, obviously, because I had Sal Warmly at the top of my list. When you're talking about preseason teams, Jimmy, you have to remember, you're talking about known, fully known entities. You're not you're not taking a wild card on like a Tony Rojas, right? Like there's a ton of potential there, but you're not necessarily going to put that kid on any preseason. They have to be a known entity. They have to have had, you know, played, had plenty of seat time, shown something at the next level, et cetera, et cetera. So you're talking about players that are known quantities. So I identified six of them for Penn State. I put them in order based on how I think they can, how relevant they are and whether or not they deserve it. And Sal Wormley was at the top of my list. I had Nick Singleton at running back number two. Abdul Carter, and I think Abdul Carter is going to become known as a defensive end outside linebacker. I think he's going to become known as more of a hybrid player. I think Tom Allen's going to turn him into that because that unleashes a little bit of the beast in him. The position change makes it sticky for guys to pick him, but he's just such a talent that he had to be. He was in my top three. Drew Aller was fourth. I had Tyler Warren fifth as tight end. I think he's been very good. And then I had KJ Winston as sixth. Those were the six guys I think Penn State has that deserve any type of preseason recognition of any way, shape, or form. But I will say this one caveat. Penn State does not have a preseason All-American candidate. They don't. Not in my opinion. They do not. They have guys worthy of consideration for all conference or for preseason conference teams, but All-American, absolutely not. Not a single player deserves recognition at that level. So I just thought it'd be interesting for me to rank them for you and give you a little bit of idea of the six guys I think who are the, you know, standout players for Penn State. And I put them in order and I put Sal at the top and Phil Steele had them there.
Well, let me first respond. I'm going to pat you on the back and then tell you where you're wrong. They do put in an extra player. Well, not just an extra player. I brought it up in front of me, not Phil Steele, but I guess it was Athlon. Andy, they don't put 12 players out there. They put 15.
Yeah, Phil does 12. I think Phil has more credibility in my book.
And I'll correct myself. I said they had Nick Singleton as the third running back. He was actually the fourth running back. So, you know, that's cheating. And the other part to it that I thought was fascinating, they have five guys listed as offensive linemen. Then they have a sixth guy who's the center. So it loses a lot of credibility. But I think the way you put it, Andy, is probably the better way is who are the Penn State players that are worthy of this recognition? And nothing against Sal Wormley, but maybe, you know, it's tough for any guard to get recognition. It's tough the offensive line, but tackles are going to stand out more than guards will.
But this guy has turned himself into an elite offensive lineman at the Big Ten level. Durability, improvement, advancement of his game, versatility. He just shows up and plays well. And I get it. I understand what you're saying, Jimmy. I really do. But I also I'm showing a little bit of extra passion here because I'm like, that needs to be recognized instead of like, no disrespect to Sal Wormley, but he's just an offensive guard. That's a hole that doesn't have to even be thought out or addressed, and it actually extends to the right side of the offensive line. Whoever the right tackle is has all the cover they need at right guard, right beside them to help them navigate those choppy waters. His value is so much higher, but I understand what you're saying, Jimmy. I'm with you.
And I'm not looking to be critical, and I understand that guard is a position that it's hard to be a star at guard.
It is.
And on the offensive line, if you're going to rate how people recognize, they're going to recognize the tackles first, maybe the center next.
Absolutely.
And the guards last.
Correct.
But someone still has to be the best guard in the conference. And I don't know guard play well enough to say, oh, no, the guard from Michigan should have beaten him out. I don't know it well enough. But that does surprise me a little bit. But there is a consistency there because the Phil Steele has him first team. I think the Athlon one has him third team. So he's put out there. I find it interesting in your six guys that you mentioned, Wormley, Singleton, Abdul Carter, Drew Aller, Tyler Warren, KJ Winston, I agree with that group, but that you don't have denied Dennis Sutton in that group.
Correct. He's not as a timeshare guy last year, to put it mildly, he played behind two guys who were drafted in the NFL. He was a timeshare guy. I know, we know, we know, right, Jimmy? We know, we see it, we know. But he can't get first or second team recognition based on a timeshare role. There's just too many guys that have done it more consistently with more time, seat time on the field. But he would be number seven if you were to say pick one guy on this team who wasn't a regular full-time starter last year that could be first team all conference. It's him every day and twice on Sunday.
All of these names that you mentioned are recognized at least in one of these two outlets. The couple other names that are on here that you didn't mention, and a little bit is, well, I was surprised Phil Steele did not have KJ Winston.
Yeah.
In his,
he must in, at 14. Yeah.
Yeah. That, yeah, that I find surprising. But he did have on his fourth team, Tony Rojas.
Taking a flyer.
Which, again, is anticipating. And the Athlon Sports, they had Tony Rojas also on their fourth team, but they also had Julian Fleming on their fourth team.
Taking a flyer. I think in a role, in the right role, and healthy, Jimmy. Health is a big deal for Julian Fleming this year. Can he stay on the field and be healthy, right? I can 100% see him being, you know, a second or third team wide receiver, because the role that he will play and the value that he brings will be evident. It's not going to, we've talked about it, he's not going to fix a little bit of what is broken, but what he brings to the table has extremely high value.
Okay, the two last names that I want to get your reaction to is Catron Allen is listed on both, second team in one, fourth team on the other. And Kobe King actually makes an appearance on one as a second-team linebacker.
Yeah, I like the Kobe King pick. I just want to see it in a new setup.
It will be interesting to see. He improved so greatly second year over first year. Want to keep seeing that. All right, Andy, that's it for quarter two. Stick around. Quarter three, your questions, we ask Andy.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three, which means it's time to ask Andy. As you might guess, we're going to give questions to Andy. The only thing is, these are going to be your questions. And if you want to send Andy a question, just download our app, Keystone Sports. You'll see the Ask Andy button, and away you go. All right, Andy, you ready?
I am ready.
All right, let's start with Brett from Wellsboro, who says, "Hi, Andy and Jim. Because of the expanded playoffs this upcoming season, do you believe the amount of bowl games will be decreased? Also, do you believe opt-outs for non-playoff bowl games will be even greater than the previous season? Thanks, guys. I really enjoy the show."
Second question first, tough one. Will there be more opt-outs? Probably. It just feels, but the secondary bowls, are you going to have, how many elite players are going to be, are going to be playing in the beyond the college football playoffs? Probably a good number. So I think you could see more at the secondary bowl level. I really do. You could see more players opting out just because the calendar to get ready to take your shot at the NFL has also moved. It starts in December if you're not a college football playoff team player. The first question, more bowls? I don't know. I say hopefully no, because you already have bowl fatigue. I do.
Well, he asked actually, would the number of bowl games decrease?
Decrease. Revenue says no. The football fan in me says please. How's that for an answer? Revenue's going to say no. Opportunity, 500 team or better, you have a bowl. But, man, the fatigue in me says, oh, please, a few less.
Well, I think the economics of it, Andy, is as hardcore college football fans, right now we are jonesing for college football. We would watch anything. Come December, after the season ends, we're not looking for those secondary games. But there are enough people who you flip on the TV and you start flipping around, live sports, live college football is better than what else is on. And yep, it makes economic sense to ESPN to put those games out there. So I think they will, even though the instinct is, boy, they should have fewer. The second part of the question, I think you answered it correctly also, Andy, is the first instinct is, will there be more opt-outs? I'm ready to say, heck yeah, there's going to be way more because those games are irrelevant. But the secondary point is right. Last year, the only important games, only four teams had important games postseason. Correct. Those were the four teams in the playoffs. This year, there's going to be 12.
Correct.
A good number of the highly rated players who are going to go into the NFL draft will be on those first 12 teams. And if you look at last year where the opt-outs were, Penn State was affected.
Florida State was a train wreck.
Florida State, Ohio State.
Yep.
These were all good teams who last season they would have been in a 12-team playoff.
Yep.
They were disappointed by not and had opt-outs. So I think that is going to be a major piece of this equation, Andy. All right, let's get to Michael in Marion Heights, who says, "Hello, I enjoyed your show on conference realignment and the inherent schedule inequality when dealing with 16 to 18 teams. I know I did that show with Chris. I don't know if you and I talked about it, Andy.
We did about the who plays the top three and the power.
Okay, we did. So on that note, do you think any conference would consider adopting the NFL model where a part of your schedule is based on where you finished the previous season? So if Iowa gets an easy schedule and finishes second, they will, in theory, pay for it the next season. I'm not advocating for this, but just want to hear your thoughts. Love the show, Mike."
Yeah, I've never thought about it, but conceptually, I kind of like it. But I know process-wise for the conferences and the way college football is set up, I have a hard time seeing that. They might have to be forced to do that after they learn a bit more about these expanded power conferences, but we're in year one, right? So I have a hard time seeing it right now. You know, 2-3 years from now, could it be a more relevant conversation after you've had some, you know, after you've had some water under the bridge? It could. I could see that. But right now, man, in year one, I have a tough time seeing that, Jimmy, just because of the, you know, the command and control and structure in place in the way college football, you know, sort of needs to schedule.
Andy, I love this question from Michael. Love the question because I've given thought to it. And the interesting thing is it sort of kind of is happening already without it being formal. Let me explain.
Yep.
Ohio State has Michigan as a rival. Okay. They don't have Northwestern as a rival. They don't have Rutgers as a rival. They have Michigan as a rival. Next up, it's, oh, is Penn State, Ohio State a rivalry? Well, officially, it's not. But the way they have it set up, Andy, is Ohio State will play Penn State every other year.
Yep.
And Michigan will play Penn State every other year. Or maybe there's a 2-year cycle, home and away. Then you get the other team. So they are already looking to balance those schedules.
They are.
And I think it's no coincidence that last week, if you listen to our show, I talked about here are the 4 best teams in the conference. Guess what? Ohio State, the best team in the conference over the last decade and currently probably has the best half. They play all 3.
They do.
Of the others in that group of 4 who are at the top. Now, I think what you'll see over time is we pointed out that both Iowa and Rutgers have soft schedules. Iowa only plays 1 of those top 4 teams.
Yep.
And they also, the rest of the schedule is pretty soft also. If Iowa, based on who they have as rivalries in the setup, as you said, Ian, they start going to, you know, 9 games conference schedule, they start going 8-1, you better believe they'll start scheduling games with Iowa against Michigan and Penn State and Ohio State. And Rutgers, they play none of the 4 top teams, Andy, none of them.
Yeah.
Now, I think that will mean Rutgers could be like a 7-8-win team, dare I say a 9-win team.
Dare you.
But I don't think anyone will overreact to it. But if Rutgers starts winning 9 or 10 games, not playing any of the top teams, again, people will start to say, oh, is Rutgers good? Let's start adjusting the schedule. We'll give them games against those top teams. So I don't think it will be a formal thing like the NFL, but I think it's kind of happening already and will continue to kind of happen.
Yeah. How about if you're Rutgers? I mean, you just have culture shock. For every year you played Michigan, Penn State, and Ohio State, right? Because you were in the Big Ten East. And now you don't have to play any of them. Like, that's a culture shock to their program. They still have plenty of other games to play, but it's like, oh my gosh, we could play 2 out of the 3 and it would be good for us. No, you get 0.
Yes. And Andy, I think, again, I'm not predicting like 11-1, 12-0 for Rutgers, but
thank you.
There is no game on their schedule that you look at and say they can't win that game. And like they have USC, I believe, on their schedule, but it's at home.
Yeah.
Again, I'm not calling for an upset, but it's not going to be USC is going to come into Rutgers as a 21-point favorite, Andy.
Correct. No. I don't disagree with you, Jimmy. I'm with you.
And I do think it should be noted that Rutgers does have a decent out-of-conference game against Virginia Tech and our old buddy Brent Pry.
Overrated.
So, and I believe they go to Blacksburg. So credit to them for getting a real game in out-of-conference. All right. Here's an interesting one. This is our friend Matt from Massachusetts said, Jim and Andy, here's a fun 2-part question. I recall ESPN segment ranking the best moments in sports of the 20th century. It was the 1980 Miracle on Ice that's number one. I think Amen. Most of us would agree with that.
Absolutely.
Do you agree, or what was the best moment in sports of the 20th century in your opinions? And since we're a quarter of the way through this century, what would be your early pick for the best moment in sports of the 21st century? For me, meaning for Matt in Massachusetts, not surprisingly, it's the Boston Red Sox winning the 2004 World Series for the first time in 86 years.
Yeah, I think his World Series qualifies. When you go back to the 20th century, for me, it's the 1980 USA Olympic hockey team. I think for me personally, it was Jackie Robinson, and the color barrier in baseball was a seminal one for me as well. Curt Flood and free agency was a big one. Those were big ones for me from the 20th. 21st century, I agree with the Red Sox. Kind of put me on the spot. The Tiger Slam, it's sort of like, you know, I think it was 2000, 2001, because he won the 2000 Open at Pebble Beach and won by 15 shots. At one point early in the 21st century, he held all four major titles. He didn't complete the traditional Grand Slam of winning them in the same year, but he had won them all over a two-year period and held all four trophies. So I think that one definitely qualifies. Those were the only two that have jumped out to me in the 21st century so far as sort of seminal sports moments.
I had time to look it up, and there's some, you know, Michael Phelps, Boise State beating Oklahoma,
yeah,
Usain Bolt. How about the New York Giants beating the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl?
One game.
But I do want to get back to the 20th century. Hockey seems to be the one. I thought you had two great picks there, Andy, with Jackie Robinson and what that meant. Curt Flood, for the you youngsters who have no idea who Curt Flood was, look it up.
Yeah.
But the couple other things, I think the Jets beating the Colts in Super Bowl III, it wasn't just about that upset. It was AFL and NFL. Had a huge difference, and I would be remiss, Matt from Massachusetts, picking the Red Sox, if I didn't mention the 1969 Miracle Mets.
Yeah.
Let's leave it at that. We've got more to come in quarter four. Stay tuned for that.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. He's Andy, I'm Jim. And as Andy has become a tradition, I can't let quarter number three go. I have to dig something into it. You know, some of those moments you and I were talking between segments, some of it is about, does it mean more than the game, that single game itself? You mentioned right. Like the Giants beating the Patriots was one game, as opposed to the Jets beating the Colts in 69 had more meaning. The hockey game, the miracle on ice, was the U.S. versus the Soviet Union. But I'll even give the flip one, because this came up a couple weeks ago in one of my shows with Landon. How about 1972, the Russians beating the U.S. in basketball?
Yeah.
It was the Americans' first ever loss in Olympic basketball. And it started the conversation about the Americans bringing in their best players instead of their best college players who are amateurs. It also, that was the game where the Russians, they actually got three tries at it. So as Americans, we may not like the moment, but it was a huge moment. So a lot of different great conversation, yep. Great question. And job, Matt from Massachusetts, since you bring up the Red Sox, yes. I feel obligated to bring up to you, Matt, how about Bill Buckner having the ball go through his legs? All right. How about that for a moment, Matt? Think about that, Matt. You Red Sox fan. All right, Andy, let's move on. Another piece of news going on back in college football is now teams are going to be allowed to put logos, advertising, literally on the field itself.
Yep.
I think it's an interesting thing. Purists are going to be upset about it, Andy.
They are.
What about you?
Yeah, no, I think the nexus for this is sort of evolving around, you know, the lawsuit settlement where the players earn revenue shares, right? Like, it's forced athletic departments and universities to think and act quickly, more creatively, right? And I just think they have to think outside the box. And I think I like the field one. It's not as much as you might think. I was kind of surprised when I read up on this. It's 2 to 6 million and it's limited, but it's going to happen this year. It can generate anywhere from 2 to 6 million out of the gate for a university. And when you're talking about a 10% revenue share, which the settlement was, that's going to help. And I think you're going to see stadiums become part of this, and there's more pieces to this puzzle, but there are clear lines of what they can do. It's centered on the 50-yard line, and then, you know, two smaller flanking advertisements somewhere else on the field. So you get a big one and two little ones. It's three, but they have to start thinking outside the box. And, you know, you look at it and you think, well, and, you know, in 2023, Penn State's athletics generated roughly slightly more than $200 million in revenue. How much more do they need? Well, they now have to share 10% of that. They just lost 10% of their revenue. Right, Jimmy? You lose 10% of your revenue, you got to figure out a way to not only cover that 10%, but then also recoup 10%. So they've got to figure out ways to make 20% more money. So I like it. I think it fits the modern game. The NBA started it with the ads on the jerseys at the professional level. The NHL has followed with advertising on helmets. I think in college football, you're going to see it in more places than just on the field, Jimmy. I really do.
Andy, this has been going on. We see it with golfers, you know, logos on the shirt.
Yeah, they look like NASCAR pit. They look like NASCAR cars. It's ridiculous.
Well, the NASCAR thing is the example that there's the negative, and I agree. I would never want to see that going on in
in sports,
college football. Okay.
Yeah, no, that would be bad.
No. Yeah. And I believe, and I know nothing about European soccer, but do they not have, you know, like the logo back is bigger than the team name
front
there.
Back. Yep.
And, you know, I don't want to see that. And I know one could argue the slippery slope, but, and now I'm talking to Penn State fans who I suspect Andy will be hypocritical on this.
You're the fan, Jimmy. You can call your brother out.
I'm going to call him out because I think already fans are upset about players getting money. You shouldn't. Okay. That doesn't change the game. They're the ones who are on the field. If you want to get upset about coaches making a gazillion dollars, many of them getting that to not coach now. The second part is, and this one I do understand, with name, image, and likeness, schools, coaches, they're trying to put the pressure on the fans and saying, oh, if you want your team to be good, you've got to give to the collective. Well, you know what? We're already contributing to the university. We're buying tickets. We're buying paraphernalia. We're buying hotel rooms. We are already spending a lot of money, Andy, and that money goes into those billions of dollars that the schools and NCAA is collecting. Well, you know what? You guys should be footing the bill. We're already paying the vast majority of it. But now, if we're going to complain about that, we shouldn't complain about this, because this is a way for them. You know what? You say 2 to 6 million. I read somewhere that at the high end, it could be up to 8 to 10 million. Okay. But regardless, Andy, it's still a significant amount. And you know what? It doesn't change the game at all. I don't care if there's a logo on the field. Don't care.
Do not care one bit.
Does not change my enjoyment of the game. And it means that's money you're not going to be taking directly from my pocket. So I'm okay with it. And I know the bigger controversy will be someday, is it naming rights for Beaver Stadium? And again, a lot of Penn State fans are going to be upset by that. It's Beaver Stadium. You can't do that. Well, yes, they can, number one. And number two, the alternative is reaching into your pocket again.
Right. And just look at Pat Kraft. A year ago, you know, just a little bit more than a year ago, slightly more than a year ago, in 2023, this was brought up to him. And he was absolutely – he gave the right Penn State answer. And he was genuine about that. The naming rights for Beaver Stadium are not on the table. He was like, that's just not something that's on the table. Fast forward a year later, Pat Kraft asks very similar question, said everything's on the table, which basically means this decision, yes. And I mean, think about it, Jimmy. Just last month, the Texas State Bobcats, Jimmy, signed a 15-year, $23 million deal for their stadium naming rights last month. Texas State, 15 years, $23 million. Georgia Tech, 20 years, $55 million. Arizona State, 15 year, $50 million. Look at that revenue, Jimmy. Of course, Pat Kraft says everything's on the table. The dollars say it has to be on the table because they're going to have to pay 10% out. So,
and I'm sorry, Andy, keep going.
No, I was just going to say, this isn't thinking creatively. This is forced. This has to happen at Penn State for Beaver Stadium.
It has to happen, Andy. I'm okay with that happening. Again, it's not going to change my enjoyment of the game. It's probably not going to change the fans calling it Beaver Stadium, no matter what the official name is.
Correct.
I don't care, Andy.
Who cares?
But you used the word creative, as opposed to they're essentially going to have to do this. I want both, okay? They kind of have to do it, but I also want them to be creative with it. Don't make it a name that has no meaning. You know, like in Pittsburgh, it's Acrisure Stadium or whatever, which has no meaning to anybody, no connection to the city. Heinz Field did. Heinz is a Pittsburgh product. Can you get a product that has more of a tie-in to Pennsylvania, hopefully central Pennsylvania, but also could you tie it in a way to the rest where it's not just here's a name slapped on the stadium that, you know, the name will be used on TV every time the announcer refers to the stadium. Could it be something that becomes part of the game day experience? What I'm getting at, Andy, is like a Sheetz that is a central PA fixture, but it's also like, do you have Sheetz stands, you know, refreshment stands and so on. They become part of, there's a tailgate area, Sheetz tailgate area, things like that. I saw another suggestion, Hershey Foods, you know. Yep. So you're going to sell Hershey products at the state. May integrate whoever it is into the game day experience so it's not just the name slapped on the stadium. And by the way, that would also make the product more valuable.
It would, but I think out of the gate, Pat just has to – he's just going to have to go where – follow the money, right? Wherever the money tells him to go, that's where he's going to go. You're right, Jimmy. You're 100% right. Oh, my gosh. Did I say that? Jimmy, you're 100% right.
I know it's killing
right.
you.
I had a hard time, like, getting it out. I had to stop and think about it. But, no, you are right. And that is the – that is a pie-in-the-sky type plan. And if he pulls it off, he's a marketing genius, right? But initially, what he's got to do is get more money in the coffers, and whatever that looks like, he's got to take right out of the gate.
Well, Andy, I'll disagree on that one in that taking the first offer, because as you pointed out in some of those other places, those are 10, 15, 20-year commitments.
Correct.
I'd rather take an extra year and do it correctly, where it's not just someone slapping a name on the stadium and it's worth X dollars. If it's the right company, the right product, your overall take could be X squared, okay? If you do it right, where it's not just, again, selling the name on the stadium, but a bigger deal.
These are boardroom questions, right? Those are boardroom questions, Jimmy. Do you take the pay now or do you take the pay later? And they're going to be the hard decisions they have to make. It's still going to be a tough road for Penn State.
Do you trust this school's boardroom?
I trust their athletic director.
Okay. Well, we're going to see soon enough. Very diplomatic answer, Andy. I appreciate that. And we'll make that the last word of our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Reputation is everything. Hi, I'm Matt Nobby, General Manager of Bobby Rahal Honda State College, and we're proud of the reputation we've built with our customers. We're not just here to sell you a new car. We support you through every mile of your Honda ownership with benefits like free state inspections and a complimentary loaner vehicle. We'll even wash and vacuum your car when it's in for service. Our reputation is car buying made simple and great service after the sale. Stop by our West College Avenue showroom today or go online at BobbyRahalHondaOfStateCollege.com.
Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app. StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love.